My name is Shandy Chernow, and you're listening to the Shandyland Podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for continuing to listen to Shandyland about food allergies and business. Today I have a fabulous guest with us. Her name is Leah Robilotto, and she is the founder of the Food Allergy Institute. She's also the mom of two kids, the 11-year-old who has food allergies, which I'm sure is how it is that you got your start in having the Food Allergy Institute. Tell me about the day-to-day challenges and how you discovered your kiddo had food allergies and how you got started with this passion of yours.
So I'll condense it because otherwise we'll be here all day. But so my 11-year-old had 13 anaphylactic allergies. We actually just knocked avocado off the list.
Nice.
We're down to 8 foods. He did have more earlier, so we've grown out of some. But he's sort of, what I love when I talk to medical providers is they're like, wow, he's a really complicated case. We've never had someone like him. Great. Just what you want to hear. But when he was a baby, he was 6 months old, I gave him smushed up avocado, and both my children are adopted. They themselves are full siblings, but they're adopted. And so we had him for 3 days, and, you know, I knew he was allergic to dairy. We were told he was intolerant to dairy, but to avoid it. And, you know, so he hadn't really gotten into the whole, like, go to an allergist, like you were just trying to get him to sleep. And he stopped breathing, like just stopped. He turned like and threw up. He turned red, threw up, and stopped breathing in like seconds. And the short story is there was an ambulance literally around the corner, you know, rushed in, like a team of people rushed in, gave him, Epi, and out the door we went. And so years later, you know, dealing with this and many hours at a doctor's appointment and all this kind of stuff, we figured out all of his conditions, and it is complicated. When we did get him, he was addicted to high doses of steroids, and we do believe that that is part of the reason he has this very extreme atopic march. We've seen some of the best doctors in the world and continue to be treated at the Mayo Clinic. So he's not even just your average, which I always hate to use that word, because really no person with food allergies, whether they're an adult or child, is the same case. In fact, we run, my business partner and I run a course, a virtual course, called The Ultimate Guide to Your Food Allergy Tribe. And we keep it really small because it's really customized, because every person in it has a different journey. Just like every person out there with a food allergy has a different need in their tribe. You need a different support system. You have a different school. You live in a different state. You have different types of medical providers. So while there's some really great medical research out there, what I found when my oldest was in first grade, I was a marketing executive. I was working, you know, a million hours a week. I was 100 pounds soaking wet. And as you can see, I'm not a giant person, but that was about 30 pounds ago. And I couldn't figure out how to handle everything. I was always worried about work when I was at home. When I was at home, I was worried about my kids, you know? And so I had like a toddler, or I guess a 4-year-old, like a preschooler and a first grader. And I was just barely holding it together. My husband traveled, and pre-pandemic, he traveled about 2 weeks out of the month. And I just like couldn't do it. And I got a phone call that he had had an anaphylactic incident at school. I was in a meeting with the entire executive board. And I, you know, like any parent would, not just mother, but parent would run out of the room. And a colleague said to me, oh, another mom vacation. And that has stuck with me. Like,
I just had a visceral physical reaction to that commentary.
Right. And people do. And the fact that this jerk, for the next thing I can think of saying about him.
You can use any word you want to. We're okay with that.
But I really think of his asshole. Mm-hmm. It just was like, and he was dead serious. Like, oh, this time I take off was a vacation. Like, no.
As if it were his kid, he wouldn't have left. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, probably not, honestly, knowing this guy. But so kind of after this episode, and I realized I was so burnt out and I was running ragged. We were living in Houston, Texas at that time, and we didn't have a ton of support. I had some really good friends. I didn't know how to do this. I was like, there has to be a better way. I looked for a counselor, a psychiatrist. a medical provider, a guru, like anyone. I was just desperate for someone to be like, it's easier. Here's like the forms you need for school. Here's how you talk to the school. Here's how you find a better childcare. And I had a great nanny, so that actually wasn't an issue. Here's how you explain it to work. Like, this is why you need to do this. This is how you talk to your family, who some of them kind of get it, but no one really gets like the stress it is. Here's how you manage it with your partner. Like, you're doing all the mental work yourself. And what, yes, they're a great supportive partner, or, you know, in some cases, not so much. Here's how you explain everything that's going on in your head before you have the nervous breakdown. I couldn't find anyone.
Yeah. No, and it's, so, it's interesting that you say, you know, there's got to be a better way. It's literally the words that I said to myself before I started Certistar. There has to be a better way. And it's really fascinating that the segment of the population that is affected by food allergies, right? In my case, adult, in your case, kid. And there really isn't. There's not a better way. And that's exactly why you started Food Allergy Institute. It's exactly why I started Certistar. And I'm glad that, you know, the two of us and the tribe of other people out there starting their food allergy companies and nonprofits and whatnot are there to be able to provide support to everybody out there who's got this, you know, issue.
Yeah. So our goal is, you know, just like you, is to sort of support the parents and the kids and the teachers. And, you know, we want to really save. I mean, if you think about yourself, how many hours did you spend Googling trying to figure out what was right, what was wrong, how to do something?
Yeah. No, it's crazy town. I mean, at some point they had me down to, so I test positive for like 35 foods, something crazy like that. Obviously I don't avoid 35 foods because allergy testing is a whole other topic that I'm sure we could discuss.
Yeah. I mean, I can do 3 shows on that alone.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. Allergy testing is insanity, but I avoid 4. So mine are peanuts, tree nuts, shellfish, all top 8, and then pork. Not top 8. We haven't even gotten into what your son's allergies are, but we'll talk about that. But it's, you know, the first thing I did when they took away the 35 foods to try to calm my system down and figure out what really were the problem ones. First thing I did was Google what alcohol can I have with all these restrictions, because I needed some way to be able to like still have normalcy in my life, right? There was a point that they had me down to elemental formula.
Like, oh yeah, that's what my son was eating.
Yeah. Awful. It's terrible, by the way. I don't know if you ever tried it, but it's the worst.
I did. He had Elicare, which is not great. Like, you know, he was a baby, so I guess it kind of worked. But I mean, he was drinking that until he was 2.
Yeah. Imagine doing it as an adult.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah. Did you put vodka in it? Did that help?
Right. No, I was down to Ciroc because that one's distilled from grapes, and grapes weren't on my list. But no, I mean, it is. It's crazy. So what are your son's food allergies? He has outside of the top 8, I would assume.
He's the top 8 except for soy. And then we also had avocado. He also has any animal with fur, essentially. And people are like, oh, you know, does he really react? I was like, well, yes, he has had anaphylaxis, which we only found out when he was in preschool. He went to a petting zoo, or I think they had one there, I forgot exactly what it was, and he was petting a goat, just the back of the goat, very lightly, because he was sort of like, what is this? And his teacher was looking at him, she's like, his face began to get puffy, so she just brought him away, but she didn't like, you know, put him in a shower or anything.
Wow.
And then he just stopped breathing. Again, he threw up and stopped breathing.
No wonder the allergist says an unusual case. That's really, that's a sensitive.
Yeah, he's extraordinarily sensitive. So we have an allergist both here locally in Atlanta with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, who we really like. But we also have an allergist at the Mayo Clinic. And she said, well, he doesn't have the most, but he is the most sensitive, even though, as we were talking about allergy testing, his numbers don't reflect his reactions. And it's so frustrating.
Well, of course. I mean, that's because they're not testing for that. I mean,
right.
Neither of us are doctors, but.
Right. I know.
Allergy testing doesn't test for anaphylaxis. It just doesn't.
No. And so like my sister, she has her PhD in nutrition. She's like, well, you know, I've seen his numbers, and I'm like, you're not a real doctor. Like, so, you know, part of my journey was like, this cannot be the way. So I left my old company. And I had this time where I thought, well, maybe if I'm a stay-at-home mother, like this will solve everything. I am a terrible stay-at-home mother. I can't do it. And hats off to people who, you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mother and she was good at it. I am not. I am bored. I am anxious. I am depressed. I am my poor kids. I was like, come on, we're going on an adventure. Like, I kept like dragging them to every park in town. And like, they were like, please hire a nanny and get the hell out of the house. And they were tiny.
I only made it through 4 weeks of maternity leave before my kid's dad, my husband at the time, called me. He went to work, called me from work, said the nanny starts Monday, and hung up. Like, that's how bad of a, you can't even call it a stay-at-home mom. I didn't even make it that far.
Yeah, he had like a long week off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very short maternity leave. It just didn't work for me. So I thought,
unless you're stay-at-home moms, I can't do it.
Yeah, I just can't. And I think there's just different types of people. And so that's, again, why we really personalize what we do, because kind of our motto is we work with you to make your best life, because your best life is not the same as mine or yours or the person down the street or even in the next town or what your sister or your best friends is. It's really what your best life and what works for your family. So that's why everything we do, there's really nothing that's off the shelf. So it's why everything is so personalized. With this course we run, people are like, oh, you could just shovel people into it. You'd have 100 people, of course. I'm like, no, we can't.
Everybody is so different.
And we want to have our handprint on it. We want you to interact kind of with us, because, you know, when I was doing that, I was not a counselor at the time. So I would do what anyone did who's in the middle of a life crisis. I went to graduate school.
I went back to school to be able to better serve the food allergy community.
Yeah. So I went back to school and I got my master's in child and adolescent psychology, and I'm getting a second master's in mental health counseling, mainly because I moved to Georgia and I can't get licensed without that second master's. So I'll have my license here in Georgia in about 18 months. It's been slowed down by the pandemic. Because I can't do some stuff in person. My son doesn't, like I said, only have food allergies. He has some pretty significant lung disease and what's called trachea malasia, which is when your trachea is not formed correctly. So he doesn't move air correctly. So we really can't do in-person things as we're recording this. So I just keep going back to school. And when I was in my first master's program, and even continuing now, I really am studying the impact of chronic illness on families. And what I found is that it really affects our whole community system. So usually one parent, and it's usually the mother, but not always, but about 80% of the time, mothers take on all the responsibility, as we've all heard of the mental load. And we're just doing it all, taking it all on. We're, you know, remembering every doctor's appointment, what every doctor has said. We may have some notes in our phone, but we're really keeping it in our brains. And then we're trying to manage school and, you know, figure out how to do the 504s and the IEPs and the keeping the snacks safe. And, you know, then you end up volunteering to be room parent. And then when they go to high school, making sure everything is safe there and making sure they're included, or just not letting them do activities. And then they're home, you're home. You never go to book club or girls' night out because you can't find a babysitter. And then by the time they're old enough to take them alone, you haven't made that sort of system of friends. And then you're lonely, you're depressed. So mothers, whether it's food allergies or diabetes or epilepsy or whatever your chronic condition is in your household, are remarkably stressed, are remarkably burnt out, and clinically depressed to the point where they have higher rates of suicide ideation. So I was like, wait, I got to do something. So that's where the Food Allergy Institute came from. Why we generally serve food allergy families as our main mission. It's not to say in the last month I've had two families with kids with severe ADHD, because why that's not a physical, it actually is a physical illness, but that's a whole nother story. It's the same thing. You feel like you have to be there. You have to, and you know, a lot of times we get accused of being helicopter parents, but my own mother
really standing up how they need to, is it?
Yeah. You know, my own mother, who helps us immensely, and we live close to each other, and even through the pandemic has been the only person who's been able to help us. She gets nervous cooking for my son, you know, unless it's really like written out. And, you know, she's been with us this whole 11 years. So it's hard. So that's why we've created this program to really help you systematically figure out how to build your own support system, because if you don't have it really from the get-go, it's even harder, but it's doable. But we really, I don't want other mothers, other fathers, other caregivers to end up as stressed out and burnt out. I probably had a mini nervous breakdown. I just didn't notice because, like, who had the time?
Yeah, no, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. She has food allergies, and as do I, of course. And she said that there was a statistic I hadn't heard before that 60% of food allergy people end up with anxiety.
Oh, yeah, I would guess it's higher.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the reasons that I rail against allergy testing a bit, because I feel like when someone hasn't necessarily had reactions to something, and that yet we're making them avoid a food because some test came back positive, we're creating I usually talk about it as quality of life, but we're creating an anxiety issue, right? Especially, yeah, I think, in kids
managed.
Where you're, yeah, I mean, if you're forcing that exclusion and differentness and fear of that food, you know, really for potentially no good reason, it's a big issue. And I think mental health is a big part of that.
Yeah, you will find, and not just the patient, but even the siblings.
Sure.
You know, if you look at the sibling data, they have seen usually at least one. If they've seen none, it's usually not as significant, but they've had to sort of change their life. Maybe they're not going, you know, to the pizza restaurant on Friday nights, which is, you know, I grew up in the Northeast in Italian.
Sure.
So there's a lot of pizza restaurants around, but, you know, maybe they're not going to the spaghetti dinner before football games or track practice and things like that. So they're missing out on sort of that community because their sibling can't go.
Yeah.
Or they're having to not join in other, you know, in normal non-COVID times, Halloween activities and things like that, because their parents just don't know how to make it safe for one kid. Well, so they get left out.
That was on my list of questions to ask you, is how do you balance having one kid with allergies and having a second child who doesn't have any?
So one of the things I've always been really aware of is the sibling dynamic. I didn't want anyone to feel left out. I didn't want either one of my children to feel like they were missing out on anything in life. And part of this is my own sort of neurosis. You know, like I said, both my children are adopted. They have the same birth parents. And so when you know, I was handed the baby from their parents, I said to their mother, I looked her in the eye, I said, I promise you, they are going to have the best life I can physically give them. And so I meant that. You know, I wanted a baby for a really long time. And so I really want to live up to that. You know, not that they're not regular kids and they don't have sibling fights. In fact, right before we jumped on here, they both got their iPads taken away for 2 weeks because they're not supposed to have it on school days. And I caught them sneaking in. So, you know, they're not perfect children by any means. But they... you know, we didn't want Miles to live in a bubble. Miles is my other child. I wanted him to experience everything life had to offer. I didn't want to take away experiences. So we really worked on doing it safely. You know, lots of washing hands. We continued. We lived on this like nirvana of a street in Houston where we had, you know, Friday evenings, usually we would all meet like at the end of this one driveway. Coincidentally, she was by like the mailboxes. I don't know if that's why that started, but you know, we'd be having margaritas by 5 o'clock. Someone would get takeout, you know, read out like, and so everyone knew he had all these allergies. The kids were even good about washing their hands and we were just aware. He never missed out on anything. I would have to work a little more at the school. And this was before I was kind of such an expert of doing all of this, but I volunteered for every class party. I went on every field trip. If I couldn't go for some reason, in fact, my father flew in from Florida where they live and went on a kindergarten field trip once. Like, we just made it work. We didn't want him sitting out anything. He, you know, he was on a Ninja Warrior team. He does parkour. He does track. And each kid does their activities. We just make a safety plan. You know, living here in Georgia now, he does rock climbing and he's on the track team. And my other kid, you know, does rock climbing with him because he basically is like a little puppy and does whatever he does. You know, he goes on bike rides, but he has his EpiPen. His brother knows how to use it. His best friend knows how to use it. I mean, he's little, so he doesn't go too far, but
sure.
you know, we do drills. We have food allergy emergency drills in our house every month.
We do the same thing.
And we just practice calling 911. We practice, you know, using the trainer. Mm-hmm. So it's like second nature. And, you know, we're very neurotic about hand washing. One of the things I have to kind of explain to people, they're like, well, you can use hand sanitizer. And especially now with COVID, you know, it's not the same.
I like when, to tell people you can spray Lysol on a peanut. It's still a peanut.
Right. And, you know, one of the things I like to do with little kids, and teachers love this, so I make sure I do it outside, is I put a little bit of glitter on kids' hands. And then I do hand sanitizer to show them that you're just rubbing it around.
I love it. Can I steal that?
Sure. Yeah. I encourage everyone to steal it. You know, so we just are really conscious of how we do things. Everything we do takes extra planning. When we travel, we have to, you know, I mean, I pack like a backpack of food. We had to go to the Mayo Clinic in July and then again just this month. And so we go about every 3 months. You know, going on the plane is a whole new experience during COVID. You know, we had to make sure we had tripled, like, lots of masking, lots of all this stuff, and then lots of food, because I didn't even want to risk having to deal with, you know, food on the road, you know, going to the, you know, getting there, going to the grocery store, and just really being extra cautious now. But our food rules still apply, whether it's COVID or not.
It's so funny, the things, listening to your kind of plans and lists of things that you do and comparing them just to my own, you know, me being the food allergic person, they're so similar and yet so different, right? Like, I travel with my kids, and obviously not much right now, but, you know, and there's a ton of food that I take and all that stuff. But, and I think, well, I'll figure something out for me, and worst case, I just won't eat.
Right.
Right. But I would never dream of, like, leaving for a plane without, like, a backpack full of food and games and whatnot for them. But I don't even,
right,
you know, look at it for me.
I guess we're down to 7 food allergies now. Mm-hmm. You don't leave it to chance. And, you know, what if you get laid over and, mm-hmm. like, they don't have something? And so you just really, and we travel, well, not during COVID, but we do travel quite a bit.
Sure.
And, you know, I recently wrote, I don't remember if it was a blog or for an article, but you can really do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Life just changes a little bit. It just takes planning. It's a lot of planning. And I used to really not be a planner. I'd be like, all right, where are we going this weekend? And now, like, I have all these interesting backpacks with freezer compartments and things like that. You know, gone are the days of the cute purse. But, you know, you can go to the beach. You can, I mean, you could go skiing. I hate the cold, but you can go skiing. You just have to plan. You know, when we do travel, we get Airbnb rather than hotels so we can cook. You know, you just have to kind of really think of those steps through. The other thing we think of is really knowing where the hospitals are, knowing what level of care they have. I mean, that does definitely impact where we travel.
How to advocate, you know, for your son when there is an episode that you have to deal with.
Yeah, we're not going to go to a remote cabin in the woods where a hospital is hours away. It's just not going to happen. But we're still going to go to fun adventure places.
Yeah, you know, of course.
You have to plan and do what feels safe for you and your family. So that's why we have to, you know, personalize everything, because your level of comfort for travel might be different than mine. But I would never want it to stop someone. You know, I had a client last year whose child, I can't even call them a child, they were a junior in college, and she was driving food 3 hours each way. She would cook, like, I don't know what day of the week, I don't remember.
Like her kid's own personal Nutrisystem or something like that.
Right, like a whole week's, like home chef, worth of food, snacks, anything that could possibly eat, and deliver it.
That's
every
amazing.
Sunday, hang out for an hour or two, and then drive back. And I was like, this is it. And she said, and the reason we got in touch is one of her friends, I guess, I think heard me somewhere. And, you know, she said, well, you know, everyone thinks this isn't sustainable. I said, what are you going to do when he gets a job? Or if he gets a job across country? She's like, oh, I won't allow it. Like, we have to get this kid more independent. She's like, well, I'm not comfortable with him reading labels.
Yeah.
And well, what is like his girlfriend or something say? And she's like, oh, he's not allowed to have a girlfriend. So it turns out the kid had a girlfriend.
I bit my tongue pretty hard there.
Yeah, like, can you imagine your mother saying you can't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or, you know, whatever?
Sounds like a recipe for rebellion.
Yeah.
And it's a dangerous one, a dangerous recipe for rebellion.
Yeah, I mean, she basically hadn't taught him about his own health. So that was an interesting umbilical cord cutting, essentially.
Yeah. So tell us where people can connect with Food Allergy Institute online and some of the services that they can take advantage of with you guys.
So that course we run 4 times a year, and you can always book me one-on-one. You can find me on Instagram is really the best place to follow us and be updated with us, is at the Food Allergy Institute. My website is foodallergyinstitute.com. You can email us at info@foodallergyinstitute. We respond to every message. Oftentimes it's me or it's my partner. Her name is Dee Dee Vecino. We can work with you on creating plans for school, creating plans for your family. One of my favorite things to do is to write family constitutions, which talks about what the rules are for your family. I think every family should have a family constitution. It talks about things like, you know, what mom needs, what dad needs, what the kids need, what the nanny needs, you know, to be a successful functioning family. So it has even your food allergy safety rules or whatever sort of conditions you have in your family to keep everyone safe. But then it has things like how much iPad time you get and how much time you have to spend on homework and how much time mom gets to exercise by herself or read a book by herself and what self-care looks like for your family. And so I do exercises like that with families. We work with schools directly to help them develop food allergy safe, inclusive schools, that we really focus on what your climate at the school is. So we have quite a bit. We have an array.
I'm guessing there's no nut free tables in that.
No, we do not believe in allergy free tables because, as you probably know, that increases incidence of anaphylaxis and creates a climate of bullying.
Yeah, the exclusion factor and the fact that it's as though there's no other allergies other than nuts. Come on.
Yeah, and you know, I really don't like when quote unquote normal kids don't have to work around non-typical kids. I really think it should be the other way around. I also work a lot with sort of the non-neurotypical kids.
Did you have an airplane flyby? Is that what just happened?
Yeah. I forgot my window was open. So that's, I really think we all beautiful. Need to be super inclusive. Nice. So I really work on helping schools create inclusive environments, not just for food allergy kids, but for everyone.
I love that. I think it's so important. You know, the real schools that are food allergy friendly are the ones who can work around, you know, the kids who are there and the situations that they have, and that they have the kids be educated about what, you know, what their friends' needs are. I think that the schools that are the least prepared for food allergies are the ones that have, you know, the nut-free table, if you will. You know?
I am.
Glad to hear we're on the same page there. That and allergy testing. So I like to wrap all of these up with two truths and a lie. I think that you were ready for that one when we started this conversation. So listeners, we're not going to tell you which one the lie is. You'll have to reach out on your favorite podcasting platform or on any of our social media channels. So Leah, take it away. Two truths and a lie. Yeah.
I appreciate the warning. So I get, like any college student, I had some interesting first jobs. So I'm going to give you two that are true and one that's false. So I was a barista. I worked in kidnap and response. And I worked on the radio.
Amazing. I like it. And I can't wait to find out which one is true. Which two are true?
Which two are true?
Leah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for creating the Food Allergy Institute and for all the work that you're doing with the food allergy community. Listeners, if you have questions or have needs around, you know, some assistance with your own family or friends with food allergies, please reach out to the Food Allergy Institute. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, and please make sure that you subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and that you are following us on social media. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.